That's not a full gospel.
Yeah.
The gospel is what? What is the gospel? We talk about full gospel churches today. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Go back. And read it to me. Yes. What Greek and Hebrew?
What is their belief today? Is it Catholic or?
It's Greek Orthodox. The Greek people are Greek Orthodox. They hold a lot closer to the scriptural, the definitions of things than what the Roman Catholic Church did, because Greek really explains baptism. It is by immersion. It's no other thing else. And so they see that. They're not off on that situation. Some of the straight, but they are very much Catholics in their point of view. A lot of the ritualism, but they do not have idols. They have pictures and icons, all right, which are kind of like idols, but not idols.
The question also, this preacher was talking about, he says, like they went to Peru, they go into these nations that they don't have the gospel being preached. Like we have a mission.
Yes.
He said, a lot of them say 6,000, there were healings, lame arms, there were bruises.
Mm-hmm.
People actually were blind, see. And he kind of says, he's saying all this thing and all that. Is that really true, or is just something he's just saying?
Remember when I wrote a book on that very thing? It's called The Near Cult. There are very few substantial healings that ever take place among the Pentecostal ranks and Assembly of God full gospel churches. Very few actual healings. There are some. All right? But we're going to go back and look at the Bible, aren't we? The Bible is our standard of faith and practice. We're going to go back and we're going to look, and that's where we are. That's the lesson today. In your little chart, you've got a little chart like this. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Let's find out what the gospel is, by the way. 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 1. You got that, Tony? Or Fernando?
I'll start verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preach to you, which also you receive, and which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance that I also received that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures.
Yeah.
And that He appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that, He appeared to the more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, and some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James and to all the apostles. And last of all, as it were, to one untimely born, He appeared to me also.
An abortion.
Yeah, that's what it's
called. He appeared to me also. What is the gospel now? Tell me what the gospel is. You just read the definition of the gospel. What is the gospel? That Jesus Christ came according to the Scriptures. That He lived according to the Scriptures, was in the right place, the right time, and everything all the way down through there. That He died according to the Scriptures, and that He was raised according to the Scriptures. And that is the gospel. Baptism isn't part of the gospel. Did you know that? Repentance isn't part of the gospel. What is the gospel? The proof that Jesus Christ came. That's the good news. It's the good message. All right? Now, I'm going to tell you another thing now. I want you to understand this and put all of your listeners on right now. Healing is not part of the atonement. That's the great difference. Healing is not part of the atonement. Did you catch some of that? Healing is not part of the atonement. It has nothing to do with the atonement. Let's go back here. Fernando.
Well, I saw that. When I was watching that, some kind of channel, they have different kind of religions. They have these two theologians, Catholic theologians, that are explaining away why the Protestants don't study Scripture. And they said that baptism is part of your salvation, you know the same stuff you always hear.
Mm-hmm.
And then we missed the point, we missed the whole thing. But, I know better. I just listened, I said, where are they getting this thing?
They're getting it right out of hell.
Yeah.
that's where those doctrines came from. That's where their doctrines come from.
Right.
All right, doctrines of demons, mm-hmm. Paul said. Now, Paul said that. I'm not saying it. Paul said it. I'm just quoting Paul, okay? Miracles. When and why? Now, we need to do that in your little thing here. Here it is. All right? We're going to go through this because this is very important today. Can God heal you today if He wants to? And should we pray for people's healing?
Yeah.
All right. We should pray for people to be healed. If it's God's will, medicines that have their desired effect, all of this stuff. This is something that we should do. But is healing part of the atonement? Along with being saved, is God going to heal you every time you need it?
No.
Has nothing to do with the atonement. Can you call for God to apply that healing to your body and refer it to the atonement? If by His stripes we are healed. How are you healed by His stripes? You were desperately, wickedly sick in sin. That's how you were healed. Now, Gene Scott, how many of you know Dr. Gene Scott? All right. He's on the radio 24 hours a day. He ties healing into the atonement, and so does every full gospel and all these stuff. And they said, if you don't preach healing, then you're not preaching the full gospel. We know what the full gospel is today because we just figured it out, didn't we? That was real simple, huh? We went back there. Was healing involved in that? Was baptism involved in it? When you're baptized, you remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Sure. But it is not part of the gospel. The gospel is that the good news that God's Son Jehovah came to the earth and became flesh and died and was raised for our justification, okay? Not for our healing. All right? Now, why in the Old Testament, why were there miracles? Remember, we studied that the other day. Well, let's review it. Why were there miracles in the Old Testament? Why? Well, the miracles in the Old Testament. What? Christ's deity. In the Old Testament, okay, not the New. In the Old Testament, then. Old Testament. Why did God do miracles? They were atomic bombs. They were dynamite explosions in time and place to prove that God was behind a certain act or whatever. When Jesus or Joshua, all right, led Israel across the Jordan River and over into the place called Jericho. Now, they could have attacked that city, couldn't they? But God said, I don't want you to attack the city. I'm going to prove the rest of the first thing they did in Canaan land, in the land of promise. What did they do? What?
He brought the walls down.
God brought the walls down. They didn't have to fight the battle. They said, march around Jericho 7 times and blow your trumpets. And I'll set off an atomic explosion. That was a miracle. The walls fell down flat. Zip, right through the ground. The walls, now if you go over there, if you go over to this place, I've been there, here's a wall standing up here like this, on the ground. Okay, we're not going to show how it all was. But this wall fell down flat, down into the ground. Like that. It fell down flat. It just retracted. All right? The walls retracted. And that's something in science and anthropology. They go there. These walls were like they were still standing, but they weren't standing. They were down below the level of the ground. What did God say in the original language? The walls fell down flat. They retracted. Zip. All right? Just exactly like God said they did. That was a miracle. All right? It was to prove something. That these are God's people. The land of Canaan were Ham's descendants, weren't they? They were these people, the Canaanites, were Ham's descendants. And God had prophesied hundreds of years before that Israel would take this land. And they would be servants. They would go in there and they would have houses that they hadn't built. Vineyards that they hadn't planted. Fields that were cleared that they hadn't done anything. God gave it to them. Because He had made these Canaanites, because of this curse, He had made them to be servants. Or all of the labors that they did in that land. Now, today that doesn't sound fair, does it? That's where you come to the sovereignty of God. God does what He wants to. And He speaks what will happen before it's going to happen. And God doesn't have to justify His behavior to anybody. But I can guarantee you one thing, it's just. As plain as that. So God in the Old Testament performed miracles to get somebody's attention. All right? To prove something. That His spokesmen were there. Did the devil work miracles in the Old Testament time? They were real miracles, weren't they? Is the devil capable of performing miracles? Is he? He sure is. He's capable of it. He can perform miracles and copycat God. Matter of fact, everything that God has ever done, Satan has copycatting capacity. All right? John 3:2, we went there last week. Why were the miracles in the New Testament? Let's go back over this ground again. I want this to be dyed in your hide. I had a teacher one time, one of my great teachers. He's one of the older ones that's still alive, Dr. Hoyt Chastain. He told me, he said, brethren, he said, I want you to go get your lessons. When you stand up and preach or teach before a bunch, he said, you have that so thoroughly in your mind, that lesson, that lesson will just drip off your fingertips like honey. On your students, whoever you're teaching, on your congregation. He said, you'd be full of that lesson when you stand up before them. You know that lesson. Know your lesson. Alright? Why? Now, you're going to have to deal with this every day from now on. Okay? Until the Lord comes back. This is something that's really important. John 3:2. What's happening there? Que paso?
You want me to read it?
Yes, sir.
So this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.
All right. We know that Jesus had a miraculous birth, didn't he? Now, who was this man speaking there, by the way? This is John 3rd chapter.
Nicodemus.
All right? His name means mob buster or people buster, a crowd buster, out of control crowd. That's Nicodemus, to conquer over a mob or a crowd of people. Okay? Now, Nicodemus was a representative of the Sanhedrin court and of the Pharisees. And that was an elite group in Israel, wasn't it? An elite group. Now, he came to Jesus and he said, we know that you are a teacher come from God. Why? Because you're performing miracles that are your messianic credentials, and that no man can do these miracles. They cannot be explained away because God is with you. All right? Then why couldn't you say that about these Pentecostals and Assembly of God and full gospel churches today?
Why can't you?
Now, what couldn't he say? Well, we know that God is with you because of the miracles that you perform. Why don't we say that?
You can't perform miracles.
Well, sometimes they do perform. The devil is a miracle worker. If you look in most of these churches, they're absolute. Their focus is not on the Word of God and not on the worship of God, but it is getting something. It's like going down and playing a slot machine and see what will come up next. Even their giving. Their preachers will say, come in here and give $100 and God will give it back to you 100-fold or 10-fold. When they give, they expect something back. All right? Give expecting, they'll say. You know, that's one of the things. I was raised in these churches. I know a little bit about it. I've been there and done those things. Okay? I've seen them. Hebrews 2 and 4. I want you to remember this. All right? Hebrews 2 and 4. Write down in the front of your fly leaf of your Bible, and it's not going to hurt your Bible to do that, write down miracles someplace. Okay, write miracles right there, and then go and write down these scriptures that I'm giving you. Okay? Write in the fly leaf of your Bible. I mean, I've done that in mine.
Was that Hebrews what?
Hebrews 2 and verse 4. See what I've written? I've demolished my Bible with all these little lessons. You see this? Every different thing. All over among here, even at every square inch almost, I've got something written on the front and the back of my Bible. See here. Back here. Church offices and different things. God's dealings with man. All of these things. You can write this down. It won't. You're not sinning by writing this in your Bible. Okay? Write it down on the edge because you're going to have to deal with these people. And you want to deal with them with understanding. Okay? I dealt with one the other day. And he said, well, I know what happened to me.
Hebrews what?
Hebrews 2 and verse 4. Hebrews 2 and verse 4. Right down there. Joanne, have you got that one?
Yeah.
Hebrews 2 and 4.
And God verified the message by signs and wonders and various miracles and by giving gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever He chose to do so.
All right. Now, who did He give the gifts of the Holy Spirit to?
Everyone that believed?
No.
The
apostles had the gifts, but who mainly had the gifts of the Holy Spirit? The apostle was a gift for them. Apostleship was a gift. And who was the gift to?
The
churches.
Okay.
All right. The churches were endowed with this gift, with these gifts. All right. Churches. Of course, churches are made up of people. But they were people, groups of people in different areas. All right. They were endowed with these gifts. In different places, whatever they needed, what God chose that they needed. If a person needed to speak in a language that he did not understand so he could go out and be a missionary, he was right on the edge of Africa or in some other place over there to where they didn't, India or something, that they didn't understand that language. They had a missionary who could go out there and preach to those people without ever having learned that language. God unconfused the language to him. That's what happened in his head. It's not talking about the gift of languages today. We're going to get into that after a while. Maybe two or three lessons from that. All right? Because we're going to be here for a while in this area. All right. Hebrews 2 and 4. It was confirmed. The reason for the miracles in the Old Testament was to confirm that the teacher or the prophet was a prophet of God. And the reason why Jesus performed the miracles in the New Testament was they were his messianic credentials. All right? His messianic credentials. How many of you go into your doctor's office and you look up there and he's got degrees and stuff on the wall? You ever done that? You got to check a little closer sometime. Since you got out of the newspaper. Something, you know, what some of them do.
Coupons.
Coupons.
Yeah.
All right. My mother told a woman one time, she said that her son had received the highest degrees of theology there was. And she said, oh, anybody can buy them. She said, he didn't buy his. He didn't buy his. He worked for them. Well, these were Jesus' degrees. These were his messianic credentials. All right? In the Old Testament, the miracles were the credentials of the prophets that spoke back then. Do you think that anybody had a problem believing Jonah when he hit Nineveh? Have you thought about that book very much? That's quite a book. I'll preach from that one these days.
After
he died in the fish's belly. Yeah. There was a story, I don't know if I told you about this or not. There's a little kid that went to Sunday school and his teacher told him about Jonah being swallowed by the whale. Or the great fish is what it says, actually. And his teacher said, well, a whale cannot swallow human beings, so I don't believe that. A whale's throat isn't big enough. And she said, yes, it is. The Bible says so. She said, well, I differ with you. She said, I don't believe that a whale swallowed Jonah because it can't happen like this. And she said, yes, it can. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. And she said, well, let me show you in this book here. And he says, and she said, a whale couldn't swallow a person like this. And the little girl said, well, I believe God. And she said, well, I believe this. And she said, well, I want to go ask my daddy. And I asked my preacher. So she came back again to the teacher. And she said, my daddy and my preacher also said that Jonah got swallowed by a whale. And she said, well, we won't know until we get to heaven, will we? Like that. She said, well, well, maybe not. She says, how did that go on?
I don't know. I never heard it.
Oh, you never heard it?
No.
Well, she says, well,
when I get to heaven, I'll ask God.
I'll ask God. And she said, well, maybe I will too. She said, well, when you get down there, she said, you can ask around too. Because she knew one thing, she didn't believe in that miracle. That she wasn't a believer in God. The teacher
wasn't. When you get to the other place, you can ask around.
Yeah, when you get to the other place, you can ask around. Well, how long did the miracles last? 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 8 through 13. I've got a book written on this too, by the way, if you want it. I don't think I got one with me, but I think it costs about $10 or $12 to copy that thing. If you want to read it, I've got all these scriptures written out from the original language there. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. We all know about that, don't we?
1 Corinthians, 13th chapter.
8 through 13.
8 through 13.
I mean, they read that at weddings and all kinds of stuff, funerals. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. What does it say there in verse 8? Yeah, read that. I'm going to let you read this.
Corinthians 13, verse 8.
Start from verse 8.
Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away.
All right. Now that perfect thing there is what it says. When that perfect thing comes, what time in history was this?
Before the Bible was written, really.
Well, this is the New Testament. This is the New Testament time. Had Jesus already come?
Yes.
All right. So that's not Jesus. It's not talking about Jesus, is it? All right.
The Word of God.
It's the Word of God that's talking about. When that perfect thing, which is to come, comes, all of these things, it says, will cease for themselves. All of these things will cease for themselves. Now go back to the 12th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. I want to show you this, and I was asked this over there in church. That's one of the questions they asked me over there in church.
So that thing, when we get the Word, then it
gets... When the word of God was completed, then all of the gifts would cease. All right? The gifts would cease. Because the reason for the gifts were what? Confirming the Word of God. All right? Well, when you have the Word of God, now just think about it this way. Men have always asked for a sign. are learning of something. But it takes a lot of faith to receive a book like this and just trust that this is all the instruction you're going to get. This is the end of the story. That's it. That's it right here. It takes a lot of faith to believe in this book, that this is God's answer to anything that you might have today. God's not going to inspire you any further. He's not going to... I mean, Brother Ken is learning to be a preacher. Learning to be a preacher. He is a preacher because God called him, but he's learning to preach. And he's learning to preach an acceptable message. All right? And that's why he's studying like he is. He wants to go to the seminary and study and spend, dedicate several years of his life to be able to get the ammunition to go out and preach. All right? Well, this is where the material is. It's in the Word of God. So we need to learn that. It's very precious. It's very important. And now let's go back to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. In verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and God has placed members in that. I'm paraphrasing this from the original language. If you can imagine me reading Greek and paraphrasing it all at the same time, that's what I'm doing. Okay. And paraphrasing it into English. Lee Kuster used to come in, he would see me read this Greek like this and translate it in my head and give a paraphrase like that. He said, I don't think that's possible. He said, I never would think that is possible, but that's exactly what's going on here right now. So if I say something kind of weird, I'm trying to explain it, that's what I'm doing.
That's not American standard.
No, that's nothing. That's Greek. Okay, brought over directly into English. He said, you are all part of the body of Christ. He's talking to a church here. Who's he speaking? Who's speaking? Paul the Apostle. All right? Paul the Apostle speaking. He's speaking with his first letter to the Corinthian church, which the Corinthian church had gobs of problems. The Corinthian church had so many gobs of problems that he had to write two letters to them to try to get them straightened out. All right? Had gobs of problems. And then he said, God has placed in his church first, what was the first thing he placed in the church?
Apostles.
The gift of, now this is the gift of apostles. These are church gifts, all right? If you want to write this here, these are church gifts, all right? Church gifts. These don't belong to individuals. These are church gifts, all right? He placed the first gift of churches, of apostles in the church, secondarily, prophets. What does a prophet do? He speaks forth. They didn't have the Word of God, people. They did not have the New Testament. You have to remember, they did not have the New Testament yet. They did not have our rule of faith and practice yet. So he gave them prophets.
Prophets what? They told the
truth. They prophesied what God wanted them to understand. And Paul is prophesying right now to this church. He is giving them a message. Now, there were a lot of New Testament churches, and letters weren't written to every one of them. There were a lot of churches in Asia when the Apostle John wrote to the seven churches of Asia the letter in the book of Revelation. There were gobs of them, but God picked out those seven. And they represented all the problems that could be in any church today. All right. And the same thing with 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. We would represent all the problems that we could possibly get ourselves into. All right? Prophets. Third, teachers. Didaskalos. All right? Teachers. What is a teacher?
What you're doing?
What I'm doing, this is the gift of teachers.
Like a rabbi.
This is the gift of teachers. Now, these people, these teachers that were in the churches, were being inspired by God to teach. A lot of times when I teach, people come up to me and they say, you have a special anointing. Well, yes, there is a certain amount of a gift that God gives you to make you desire to study. It builds up so much into you that you just got to tell somebody about it. Isn't that right, Brother Bill? Hermanzo.
Jim, is there any reason why he put these in order like this way?
This is in the divine order, I guarantee you that, because this is a divine letter. Yes. All right, he placed apostles. Apostles means one sent with authority. Now prophets, now teachers. And then he said after that, what is this other word? Powers. Powers. That's what it literally says. Dynamis. Dynamite. Dynamite. Remember what the miracles were for in the Old Testament? To prove that the message was God's message. Now these explosions of dynamite here, these miracles, dynamis is the word. These dynamite explosions again to get people's attention were to prove that this word that we're receiving, that Paul, when he wrote this 1 Corinthian letter, it was stamped by the approval of God. Okay? The book of Ephesians, what we call the Ephesian letter, was a circular letter to all the churches. In Ephesus, was put in much later. That was a circular letter to all the churches, but Paul, by his hands of power, by the power that was placed in his hands to prove that the message that he was getting and receiving was God's, they didn't doubt him. All right? Then, gifts of cures. Hiamaton. Cures. This was a gift, wasn't it? The churches had people individually in those churches that God had called to place these gifts among them to prove that they were receiving the true instruction of God. Okay? There's a purpose behind it, isn't it? You know that God is different than we are. We always have we have compassion and everything, and we, when we go on, you know what, if I had the gift of healing, I'd be in the hospitals all day long. If this was really true, where we still have the gifts of healing, I would go and empty every hospital in Bakersfield. I'd make that my chore and occupation. He didn't need to build a hospital. I mean, can you imagine how ridiculous and just hypocritical it is to build a hospital if you have the gift of healing? I mean, what would he build a hospital for just the sick people to come there so he'd go lay his hands on them? But that ain't what happened. It's money. It's the almighty yen. The almighty dollar. All right. It says the gift of curing people. All right. And then it says helps and governings and different genetic forms of languages, genetic families of languages. It says
right,
different genera of languages.
Right there is proof, it's languages.
Languages, yes.
Various languages.
It, the word is glossia, or glossome is literally where it is here. We get our word glossary from it. It is a known language, people. This is a known language that we're talking about here. This is not some unknown language. And it is a known language. If somebody comes and tells you, when you finish teaching them what you have here, and then they say, well, I know what I do, and I don't want to know what's happened to me, what do you have to judge? When you're talking to somebody about the Word of God and you're using the Word of God as a foundation, and then they said, I have something else different. I have another proof outside the Word of God of what I'm doing, some reason why I'm doing this. It's because it makes me feel good. It's because I do it. It's because I practice this thing. What is the answer to that?
They're lost.
Well, they're definitely led astray. But when you have a revealed fact in the Word of God, and something happened to you that is contrary to that revealed fact, it ought to make their hair stand on end.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
On that point,
This is where I used what you taught us many, many years ago to prove something. My sister, my whole family came out of the Apostolic Church. My sister was still speaking in tongues, and my brother had become a Baptist. And he told her that it was okay for her to continue speaking in tongues because this verse of scripture that it was a gift given to us. So I told him, flip back a couple more scriptures and go to the one where it says it's been done away with.
Yes.
Because the perfect has come. And he's like, oh, I better study that. Because he was telling her that it was okay to continue doing what she was doing, and I was telling her that...
Well, a guy asked me a while back, is it okay if I talk in tongues? Because I've been doing this for years. And I said, well, what does the Bible say? Paul wrote two letters to the Corinthian church and condemned it back then. And we're going to go back and we're going to find out what talking in tongues is next week. I don't have time to go into that this week. That's what we're going to talk about next week. We're going to go on a little bit further here. But if he condemned it twice in Scripture, how many times does God have to condemn homosexuality? How many times does he have to condemn homosexuality for... Now, this is where, I mean, everybody's going to agree with this. Everybody that believes in the Bible, basically. How many times does God have to condemn homosexuality for it to be a known sin?
Once.
All right. How many times does God have to condemn stealing for it to be... Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not be a homosexual. All right. You shall not lie. You shall not lie. How many times does God have to tell you don't lie for that to be a fact? Bill's you're a salesman, aren't you, Bill?
Yeah.
Have you ever had anybody in your company tell you to just lie to them? To get a job or get something?
Lying as a salesman, if you're a good salesman and you tell a lie, it'll get you every time.
Well,
you've got to remember what you did.
You got to remember the lie you told that time.
Because somebody's going to repeat it to somebody else, and some other customer's going to ask you. So what you have
to do... You have to really get your act together.
You do.
Well, when I was working at this hydraulic outfit, they told me that I had to learn how to lie to the customers. And I wouldn't do it. And I was the only one that wasn't lying to the customers, so pretty soon all the customers that wanted big jobs done, they wanted to know when they could have their equipment back, and they didn't want somebody lying to them, we can get it tomorrow or Friday. They'd come and say, Jim, when can we really get this job done? I said, I can't promise it to you for 2 weeks. But nobody else is going to do the same thing, because they're going to have the same problem we are getting the job out to you. So some other salesman from some other company would lie to them, we can get it out Friday. Get the jobs. I remember I went to Nevada as a salesman, and I went to this mining company, and this guy was a pure 100% dyed-in-the-wool con. He was. But you know what got other salesmen were going in this place and everything, and they would tell him all this kind of stuff. He got me up there, and he really grilled me for about 3 hours. On every aspect of our company, what we could do for him, and why he should buy stuff from our company. And he asked me, he says, two or three times, and I said, I don't know. I'll have to tell you. I'll have to go back and find out. And I'll have to find out. He said, well, do you have this kind of hose? And I said, I'm not a hose expert. But I said, I'll go back and I'll check and tell you whether we do it or not, what the price of it is. And then finally we got down there and he said, you know what? He says, I don't care what you have. He said, we're getting rid of everything else. You're our man. Because you told me the truth. You know what? He's a liar. He was a liar. The guy was mining investors and everything else. He was really taking advantage of people. Because he's telling them anything they wanted to hear. But I told him I didn't know. Or, I'll tell you when I find out. He said, I trust you. I trust you. Because he said, you're the only salesman ever coming here and told me that I didn't know, or he'd find out, or no, we couldn't do this. You'll have to get this from somebody else. Everybody else lied to me. He said, so therefore, you have got the job. You are our number one and only supplier for all of these items. The truth, thou shalt not lie, is just as true today as it was 3,000 years ago. Now, when God reveals something in His Word, and your life practices are going contrary to that, you ought to change whatever you're doing, whether it's speaking in tongues in your closet or whatever it is, because it is not what God wants in your life. And we're going to see later on, well, what harm would that do? Well, what harm would it do to do that? We're going to get into that later.
Also. In this church, that was their main thing.
Yeah. They we're not finished with these verses yet.
Yeah.
Let's go on down a little further. It says in verse 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of these great dynamic miracles? And then what Paul's asking this church that, and he said, have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak in a... This is not a heavenly language now. With the gift of languages. To go and preach to somebody that they didn't know the language. Brother Bill, do you know Swahili? All right. Now, if you want over there, if you had this gift, you can go right over and speak fluently this. Correct the grammar and all. No problem. The very dialect of the people that you were preaching to. The very dialect. How many of you ever gone to New York City? They talk differently back there. I was back there twice. Those people talk like Yankees. They got that Yankee dialect. And they use words, sometimes I have to ask them two or three times what they said. How many of you ever talked to a Scotchman from Scotland? They have such an accent that I used to have this firewood business, and I had this one Scotchman that owned this big chimney sweep outfit. And I'd go over there, and he called me on the phone and want to order wood. And I said, could you spell what you're saying? I couldn't understand it. He's speaking English, but I couldn't understand him. If I have the gift of languages, I can read a lot of languages, a lot of Western languages, and you know Greek and Hebrew and German and Latin and English some.
Spanish
some. And because I know the root of those languages, I can take a paper and read it and kind of tell you what's going on there. Okay? Not every word, but enough to catch the context of it. That's not the gift of languages. If I had the gift of languages, I would know them all. Without ever learning them, I have spent hundreds of thousands of hours learning and relearning these languages. Because my forgetter works better than my remember. Have all the gifts of the healing? Do all interpret? Then he says in verse 31, now this is a bad translation from King Jim. Real, real bad. So it's going to mean the opposite of what happens here. All right? It says here, but ye are boilingly desiring the more showy gifts. But ye are boilingly desiring the more showy gifts. All right? Ye are doing this. Present indicative active. You're doing this. You are desiring these gifts. You are doing this. Now in King James it says what?
Honestly
desire. It's not in imperative, but it's indicative mode. It's not in the imperative mode. It's not a command, but it is a statement of fact. Okay? You are doing this. You aren't going after the more showy gifts. Who's he talking to?
Church
of Corinth. What were they doing? Going after the showy, flamboyant, the showy gifts. The great gifts is what they call them.
The one that attracts people.
Yeah. But, yet, according to a greater excellence, excellent way, I point out to you. And that's where the 1 Corinthians 13 chapter starts. And then after we go through the 13th chapter, we'll go back there where it says the gifts have ceased. When the Word of God, when that perfect thing which had come, these gifts would cease. All right? Next week, we're going to talk about speaking in tongues a bit.
Well, you know, Paul says that you're better off to say one word somebody understands than 1,000 to donors.
Yeah, we're going to find out why Paul said that next week.
You know, when you said, can I do Swahili, I started to say no, but I knew sales in another time.
Yeah. I bet you're a good salesman.
But you know, Jim, they told me when I first became a salesman, they said I would never make it because I didn't drink and I would not.
Yeah.
They said, you will never make a salesman. And I think I made a pretty good end of it.
I think you're a good salesman.
What did you say? Steal. See? But that's what they told me. They said I wouldn't make it.
Yeah, that's the thing about me. They told me that finally when I quit that company, they had a lot of problems to be hit right off the bat. They had a lot of problems because they lost a lot of people because they just couldn't believe them. And they not only couldn't believe them, but they would prove they couldn't believe them. They were really mad.
People believe with your inadequacies.
Yeah.
Your inability to deliver something. As long as you tell them and they complain for it.
Yeah.
Tell them and not them about complaining for it.
That is really bad. That's a real problem. Well, thank you this morning for your kind attention and the endurance of those seats for the hour. I know how hard it is to settle in those seats. My back's bad and my leg and all that, and and it hurts me to sit there all the time. And I don't know whether you know it or not, but I'm a half inch taller this week than I was last week. I've been on my feet so much that they are swollen, a half inch on the bottom. So I'm taller. My wife looked at me and I said, I'm taller. Then she looked at my foot. What did my foot look like? It was that much deeper than it was the day before.
Well, actually, you don't seem like you're here in a while, you know. I mean, it's time to try to pick a pass.
I try to make it real enjoyable to you. I try to make it informative to you. And I try to feed you the Word of God. So that's why I'm still breathing. So I can teach you these things. That's why God lets me hang around. I should have been dead a long time ago. But He lets me hang around to teach these things.
Yeah,
you've
got reasons.
And I really enjoy teaching you. I wish the room were full. I wish we had a great big room and things like that. But if there's one of you here, I'm going to teach you.
I kind of thought everybody would be here today. You know, I'm personal business this next week.
I appreciate you going out and doing that. If anybody wants to go with Bill or for the classes, a representative, Bill comes here every Tuesday and goes out for visitation and visits, makes contacts with people, and I appreciate that. And it shows, too. We had a real good compliment. You know what? Brother Park told me the other day that our class was growing so much and everything else, and I said, I'm going to tell you what, it's Bill's fault. I said, it's the class's fault, it's not mine. I said, I just get up and teach. They do all the work. They go out and they invite people, they invite their friends and everything, and they work at it. So you're the ones that do that. I try to get you something to eat when you come up here. I try to give you something to go home with. Thank you so much for coming today. And Hernando, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Our Heavenly Father, we come before you, Father, to give you the praise and the glory you deserve. And thank you, Father, for the lesson you have taught us. Father, thank you for your Son, Father. Come to us.